drunk, or he was faster than he looked. I didn't have enough time to dodge or block the quick jab to my face, but luckily, I had a lot of practice rolling with the punches. I managed to rotate far enough that he hit me on the cheek instead of the mouth, which was nice because I really liked having all my teeth. But the force of the blow was still enough to send me toppling over backward. The furniture in the skinned cat had been through many fights before this one, and the chair beneath me groaned only slightly when we landed. My skull at least got some slight cushion from the sawdust strewn on the floor to soak up spilled ale. I stumbled to my feet, feeling the pulse of pain on my face from where he'd clipped me. That would bruise up nicely. A trickle of blood ran down my chin, and when I touched my injury, I felt a small gash. I noticed he had heavy, ugly metal rings on his fingers that seemed to exist for no other purpose than to make people who meet his fists feel even worse. This guy was a real peach. He was on his feet in a fighting stance, a grin on his face like he thought this was going to be fun. I looked down at the blood on my fingertips, then at the matching sigils branded into my palms, four triangles, each pointing in a different direction. Within each triangle was a symbol in the ancient language of Archpandoric that corresponded to one of the four cardinal directions, north, east, south, and west. Within the square in the center, where the four triangles met, was an eye and the Archpandoric word for witness or watcher, depending on context. The whole thing was enclosed in a double circle. Those sigils could help me end this fight in the space of a single breath. It was tempting, but I didn't want to burn down Chester's tavern. Like I said, the skinned cat was one of the few places I could still drink. And anyway, I'd hung my flame-resistant coat on the back of my chair, which was now pinned to the floor. The last thing I wanted was a stray flame from my hands burning my clothes off in public. That was an experience I didn't care to repeat ever again. I might have chanced it if his buddies had decided to join the fun. I was a decent enough brawler, but three against one would have been dicey. Thankfully, the other two seemed content to watch. So I decided to behave myself and just give this dickless piece of shit a good pounding. He came at me with a big roundhouse. He was cocky, certain that since he'd landed the first punch, the fight was his. He didn't realize that pain didn't intimidate me. It just made me meaner. I ducked under the roundhouse, blocked the left jab that I knew would follow, and slammed the heel of my heavy boot on top of his foot, feeling one or more metatarsal bones give way with a satisfying crunch. He dropped his guard as he howled in pain, so then I slammed my fist into his crotch. There were people at various points in my life who had told me that I shouldn't fight dirty, that there was a right way and a wrong way to fight, and punching a guy in the eggs fell squarely on the wrong side. The one thing all those people had in common was that they were entitled assholes who never had to go up against someone bigger and stronger than them. Not one of them was a petite 30-year-old woman with, let's be honest, not a whole lot of upper body strength. I did what I had to in order to not get clobbered or worse. The guy gave a light wheeze as he bent forward and cupped his balls. I took the back of his head in my hands and kneed him in the face three times. He probably would have dropped after the second one, but I like to be thorough. I let him fall to the sawdust in a heap where he lay semi-conscious and whimpering. "You fucking bitch," snarled one of the other two knuckleheads. They were both on their feet now, not looking nearly as entertained as before, and probably wouldn't make the same mistake of underestimating me. I looked down at the sigil brands on my palms again. Risk burning down my favorite tavern or get my ass kicked? It was a tough call. Fortunately, I didn't have to make it.
"Whoa, hey," came a familiar deep voice. "Why am I hearing some less than gentlemanly language directed toward my partner?"
Lysander suddenly loomed behind the two knuckleheads. He was an unusually large guy, just shy of 7 feet, with arms nearly as thick around as my waist. His parents had immigrated from the neighboring country of Lapisi, so his skin was light brown. He had calm, dark eyes, a heart.